Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon titled Countercultural Love. Scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. Well, good morning, New Hope, and we have been talking about tough love this month. Specifically, what does tough love look like? Because sometimes love is tough to actually enact, to embody, to live out, especially the love we see in Christ and how he loved others and taught us to love. So one of the first things I want to do today is ask you a question. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word love? Is it your spouse? Is it your children? Is it your parents? Is it family, friends? Maybe you thought of something that wasn't a person. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's football. Maybe it's computers, things that you have interest in, things that bring you joy. Maybe it's your pet. For a lot of us, when we hear the word love, something pops into our head right away. I think the interesting thing about this is that when we think about love, most of the time what comes into our head is relationships. The people that we have relationships with, the people that bring us joy, the people that we enjoy spending time with. I think relationships are key to understanding love. But in some ways, we are sick in our society with how we view love. Now, a healthy relationship involves a reciprocal relationship of love, that you are not dependent on what each other are giving to you to actually love them, but that you are reciprocating love to one another because that is what you want for yourself, right? That's the whole idea of love your neighbor as yourself. I think where we are sick in our society right now, where we tend to mess up love, is we tend to think of it as a transaction. That I'm going to give you this and I expect something in return. Or I'm not going to love you unless this is given to me. For example, I think it's hard to think about loving our population that is experiencing homelessness, because for some of us, we think if we love them, then we want and expect them to get a job and to be able to buy a house and be a productive person of society. So that is somewhat a transaction, that for us as a society as a whole, we feel like the only way we're going to love them is if we get that in return. We are sick with how we think about love. But it's not only that. It's easy to think about how we love people in our own relationships, but how do we love our neighbor that we don't have a relationship with? How do we love our neighbor who's thousands of miles away across the globe? How do we love our neighbor who is homeless in downtown Denver? How do we love our neighbor who is a person of color and experiences racism every day that a white person would never experience? How do we love without having that relationship in which we think about love? I think particularly this week it's been hard to think about love. It's been very hard to think about how do we love our neighbors properly. With all that has gone on in the world, whether it's the pandemic and the fight between wearing masks and not wearing masks, or the fight between people believing it's a hoax or not a hoax or a government conspiracy, and those that just want to care for the most vulnerable around them, we are all experiencing our grief and sadness and frustration in different ways. And on top of that now, we keep having forms of racism show up again and again and again and being caught on camera. With George Floyd and his tragic death at the hands of police officers in Minneapolis. And now the riots that have happened in Minneapolis and downtown Denver most recently because of that. The world is sick. We don't know how to love one another. We don't think people are worthy of love. That's the problem in our society, that we are constantly putting our own interests in front of others so that we don't even understand the situations and places that people are in. In our scripture that we've been going through this month, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. William Barclay has written commentaries on the Bible, and in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, and he talks about verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says this: If I give away all I have, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. That part there, it does not insist on its own way, is what he's talking about. This is what he says about it. He says, there are those in this world today who think there are only two kinds of people. Those who always insist upon their privileges and those who always remember their responsibilities. Those who are always thinking of what life owes them, and those who never forget what they owe to life. It would be the key to almost all the problems which surround us today if men would think less of their rights and more about their duties. Whenever we start thinking about our place, we are drifting away from Christian love. When we put ourselves in the place of we know what is right, we know what's best for us, and you completely ignore the needs and situations of the people around you, Barclay is saying, that is when you are straying away from Christian love. Our society is sick. This is exactly what is happening. We are always putting our own interests above others. And we are always pushing people down, even the most vulnerable. So whether it's the racism we have seen at the hands of police officers or everyday citizens, and it's not just George Floyd, but it's people, all the people that came before him. Whether it's the pandemic and this virus that we cannot see and we cannot fight properly the way we think we can fight, there is a frustration going on. So what I want you to think about as we move forward in worship is, where are the places that you have contributed to these systematic problems we have, whether it's racism, whether it's the polarization of our politics, whether it's judging people for their religion? We do not know how to love our neighbor well. We do not know how to have a countercultural love that invites people in and loves them exactly where they are at. So where have you contributed to that? Consciously, unconsciously, voluntarily, involuntarily, we have all done it in some way or form. As we move into worship, may you meditate on the ways that you have been involved in that. And may we ask God for forgiveness and that we may turn from those and start to advocate for the people of God here and now. So maybe you thought of the different ways that you have been involuntarily or voluntarily part of systems or in your own life of having prejudice against somebody else, of not showing that countercultural love that Jesus calls us to. So what now? What could we possibly do? Everything seems so overwhelming that what we do ourselves may not make much of a difference. I think the first step in any problem is always admitting that there is a problem, or being self-aware that you are a part of things that are contributing to problems in the world and affecting the people around you. The hard part about all this is when we see that we're not acting out with love first, we often get the criticism that love is flimsy, love doesn't hold people accountable, love doesn't punish people, love feels just kind of hippie, right? That's what we hear often. But love, we forget, love changes everything. Our whole religion, our whole faith is built upon the love of God enacted through the person of Jesus Christ. All of us come here each and every Sunday because Jesus has meant something to us. Jesus has changed our life in some way. At least I hope that's the feeling you have when you come to church. That it's not simply out of obligation or it's what you're supposed to do, but that this has a real impact on my life and how I love and treat others and how I love and treat myself. Love does change things. Love is a big difference maker. Don't listen to people who will downplay love and say that that doesn't work. Love changes everything. Love goes against our cultural idea that there are those who are unworthy of love. We kind of function in that way, that there are people unworthy of love or they've had their chance, so they do not deserve love anymore. But Jesus himself went against those types of thoughts in his ministry. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he constantly dissolved the religious and social boundaries around him. He touched the leopard. He touched the woman who was bleeding. He helped the woman at the well who had been with a different man. He stopped the stoning of the woman caught in adultery. He spoke with special outcasts such as the Samaritans. In other words, Jesus Christ dissolved the holy boundaries that were understood as holy then between clean and unclean, holy and profane, saint and sinner. You see, in some ways, we still try to make those camps nowadays. We like to think we are so much changed because of Jesus or because of the progression of human history, but we still like to make the clean and the unclean, the sacred and the profane, and the saint and sinner. We just do it in a different way than they did in the Bible. Now it's rich and poor, the hardworking and the lazy, the straight and the gay, black and the white, the Republican and the Democrat. We all have different ways of doing it now. But the idea of radical love, the idea of countercultural love in our world today may look a little bit like this.
The group of people that live on this street, they're just like you and me. They're not homeless. They are human beings who are temporarily looking for a home. 3 years ago, we had the crazy idea to do a carnival. Because what does a carnival do? A carnival comes through a town and it makes people happy. Right now, in this place, right here on this street, you are all here for one reason, and that is to love. Which is exactly what the world needs more than anything right now. It's just love. If you give someone the gift of being seen, of being heard, of being listened to, and of being loved, then anything is possible. For these 4 hours, you will not be able to tell who has a home and who doesn't. You will not be able to tell who is rich or who is poor. We're all going to be dancing. On the count of three, how about a We Love You Skid Row? One, two, three.
We love you, Skid Row!
Thank you guys for proving that no matter what, love always wins.
Yeah! As we saw in that video, all it takes sometimes for love to be transformational is touch, compassion, and just listening. To give a space where people can be heard and understood and cared for where they are exactly at and love for who they are, not who they should be. That's transformational. Think about the times in your life when you have felt the most loved, the most at comfort, the most at peace with people. It's with the people in your life who love you no matter what. That you can be real with them, that you can be 100% yourself, and they will listen, and they will care for you in the place you are at, and not require you to be anything different. This is often what Jesus did when he encountered people. Especially people, but when he encountered institutions that were perpetuating this idea that you had to be more holy in order to be loved, and you had to give more in order to be loved, he was not so nice, right? Christians have kind of lost that along the way. We feel scared about calling out systems. But Jesus also did that. So, what does it mean to just sit and listen and not to react or to judge or to try and change somebody's mind or win somebody over, but simply love and listen to people where they are at? Because that's what Jesus did. That is what transformed people. Many times I have seen on my Facebook feed these videos, and maybe you've seen them too, videos of the stories of dogs that were found wild, like living in a junkyard or living in an alley or something, and they try and rescue them, and they are terrified. They are just in the worst condition possible. But over time, in the video, they show that with love and care, love, basically, just love for this dog, the dog goes through a transformation. That's just kind of a simple illustration. Maybe there's some different ones you have in your own life. Maybe you've had a person in your life that you have seen transformed by love and care that somebody has given to them. One of the scriptures that sticks out to me when we talk about love is, first of all, 1 Corinthians, which we're talking about, but even more so, Romans 8, that says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ." We are not separated from the love of Christ. It is there waiting for us. It is there all the time. We don't want to recognize it sometimes. But the thing that often is missing is our love for one another, our love of reflecting that love that we are receiving from Christ to others. You first must understand that great love that Christ has for you in order to pass that love on to somebody else. So how do we engage in this countercultural love? How can we even begin to do this? And I just want to give three simple steps first that you can take to begin to cultivate this countercultural love in your own life. I think one of the first steps, and I said this earlier, is always to do the work of being more self-aware. Where are the places that you are participating in these patterns and systems of behavior that continue to perpetuate the idea that some people are less than others? Whether it's racism, whether it's classism, or things like that, where are you in that? And also be self-aware of your own feelings you have when you come into an encounter with somebody else who is different from you, somebody who is experiencing homelessness, things like that. Do the work of self-awareness. Number two, try and do one thing each day for a stranger. We have this practice at New Hope where we ask, what are you grateful for? We do this in each of our staff meetings. This is how we start it. In our session meetings, we start it by asking, what are you grateful for today? Cultivating this daily routine of what can I do to show love or show gratefulness for a complete stranger. Whether it's holding the door open for somebody or helping somebody who dropped something in a store or maybe picking up a tab for somebody at Starbucks or a coffee shop. What is one thing you could do every day to help somebody else out? Number three, create open and safe conversations. I think this is the most critical piece for love to really begin to flow between one another and for it to be countercultural, because the idea in conversations nowadays, whether it's politics, religion, or anything else, is that it's no longer conversation, but it is a debate. It is, now you are trying to win somebody over. How about we lay down the idea of you're trying to win somebody over and create a space where people can talk and be heard where they're at and be loved no matter where they're at. Even if you disagree with some of their ideas or philosophies, they are still loved. That is the stuff that changes relationships and changes communities. Because we're all stuck in our own silos, our own yards, our own bubbles. We have everything. This is me here. I'm going to protect this. If this person over here has a different idea, I can't let them in. Let's get rid of that. So those are three ways that you could just begin the work of countercultural love, because those are things we can all agree we don't often see in our world today. So it's one, be more self-aware. Two, try to do one thing for a stranger each and every day. And three, create an open and safe conversation environment. These are just small steps to a larger picture. And I think reading through the Gospels and reading through the ministry of Jesus shows us that his love was countercultural to the time and place it was in, and it is still countercultural to us now. Because we as humans love to put people in different tribes, different units, different places, and divide ourselves. But Jesus was all about uniting and bringing us together. So my prayer for you this week is find one way that you may do this, that you may act this out. Find one way that you could do it. Church, as you go out this week, as you go out to find a world that is ready to put us into boxes, ready to put us into camps, we are now in a place where we can show that radical and countercultural love of Christ to those around us. May you go love your neighbor as yourself. May you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. All God's people said, amen. And now as we leave this worship service together, may you spread the peace of Christ to one another. May you text it, may you comment it, but as we leave, may the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. And now, church, may you go and love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go in peace.